Hey, Damashek here. Make sure you check out the new episode of the Dave Damashek football program. We're joined by Meet the Press host and Green Bay Packers fan Chuck Todd, plus Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones, Drew, and I are setting the table for you just before kickoff. We're talking about the Vikings, the Colts, the entire AFC, the entire NFC. Football season is upon us. Check it out on iTunes or NFL.com/podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast refers to itself in the third person.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
He's back.
Was that you that said that, Mark?
No, it was not.
You said, Wes. Hey, Dan?
I did.
Wow. It sounded like Mark.
Well, he says that every show, Dan.
I know, but that didn't sound
through my voice.
Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark, out of the office yesterday, ill, under the weather.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We said, we need to do something unprecedented on this show. We were going to do our go get my lunch, you human porta potty props on Tuesday show. Instead, this is a standalone episode fully devoted to go get my lunch wagers for the 2016 regular season. A very special edition of the Around the NFL Podcast.
Ooh. Good show running by you, I think. I mean, if you were to take me out of the segment and try to get this thing done yesterday, the listener would suffer. The overall contest would suffer.
Absolutely.
Because a big part of this dynamic of this show is when I release my go get my lunch bets, they're immediately destroyed by the three of you. So I wouldn't want to steal that away from you.
Well, also, it would rob us of lots of sandwiches.
Yeah, because I am typically horrible at this
game. You are famously, you know, the three of us are all very tight in the overall standings. Mark trails behind.
Yeah, so yesterday I was getting a text from Dan, and I do think it was a good idea to have a separate episode where you said, listen, thought this would be a good way to go, and I wrote back, thanks, really appreciate it, really want to be part of this, but underneath it, we know what this is about. This is accruing edibles and foodstuffs for yourselves.
At its heart, this is a competition, and you are in last place right now,
yes,
which means we need you in this competition.
Yeah.
And you kind of need yourself in this because you want to get back into contention.
You missed the last one, too.
That is questionable whether I will climb back in, but I will try.
So, yes, let's first a couple things. First of all, gogetmylunch.org by Nick Fortier. He runs that site. You can follow him also on Twitter, at gogetmylunch. For a couple of years now, he's been running the site that tracks every one of our sandwich props. And what are sandwich props if you're new to the show? Sandwich props are challenges that we lay out. They're predictions to each of us. Each of us will lay out a challenge or a prediction, and then either you can go along with that prediction, say, yeah, I agree with you. That's a good prediction, brah. Or you could say, go get my lunch. I take you on. And that's how it goes. And one person can make a prediction that ends up with three challengers saying bogus, or it could be split. It could go anyway. And that is what this game is about. So we track the standings, and we take a look at the all-time standings. Right now, we have Chris Wessling hovering around 500, 62 and 59. Mark, you are at 45 and 54. Mm. And I believe you missed the last edition of the game, so that's why that might explain why you're a little behind in terms of overall.
Also, early on, you stayed out of the mix a little too much.
I think they potentially have been improvements over my performance, but it is still very wanting.
Oh,
that's one of the strategies too. I think that backfired a little bit because you wanted to lay low. But the key to this game is you got to hang some onion.
Today I'm going to show you a little bit about growing huge onions.
Because if you don't hang onion and you don't get involved with as many props as possible, just about. Usually you're going to win a prop if you get involved in using your head. You don't want to sit around.
I went by Dan's desk and I saw him watching some farming videos this morning, and now I understand
now you know why.
I thought it was for some strange end-around post, but now I know why.
I actually disagree with the analysis there, because early on I hung too many onions, making insane predictions that were easy to jump on. I was a complete rube. And then the key was not taking anyone else's bet. You got to take everyone else's bet, which is long-time Greg instruction.
Right. I am at 64 and 55, which is good for second place. And right now in first, Greg Rosenthal, 74 and 61, all-time leader. So that's where we are. But this is a new season. And like I've said many times before, this is not where I make my sandwich. I don't make my sandwiches during the draft or who's going to sign within 7 minutes of the start of free agency. No. This is where Daddy makes his money.
I mean, Wes needs to catch up some ground here.
Don't worry about me.
Fell behind.
Look, Wes has got that focus. This is like prime, when Wes, like Tyson Spinks, when Wes was in his prime with the toaster game.
He ain't Spinks.
Where there was just a, where there was just a quiet confidence. That's where
There's
Wes is at.
There's a glint in my eye.
There's a glint, gentlemen. So why don't we get into it, guys? A very special edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Let's get it going. Mark Sessler, you will now lay out the first prop. By the way, we're going to lay out three each. One of them must be an onion hanger, which means, if you're not familiar with that term, you got to go out on a limb. We got to take some chances. You got to know that, listen, there's a pretty decent chance I could end up paying out sandwiches, but I'm going to really put myself out there. And one more point before Mark goes on. This, to me, is an opportunity for all of us as a group, all the things we've been, to use a Greg term, honking about throughout the offseason, throughout training camp and the preseason, things that we feel confident about. Now here's a chance to put your money where your mouth is. This is your chance, Mark.
Put a sandwich where your mouth
is. Put a sandwich where your mouth is.
I mean, I'll put it on your mouth, so that's where it's going to go.
Let's isolate that one.
Yeah, that's a sound drop for the future. Thank you, Mark.
All right, Mark. Mark Sessler, get us going, baby. Sandwich prop number one.
I don't view the first two of mine as necessarily safe, and I am going go on someone in the preseason who I liked quite a bit, and I think the Titans – receiver Tajae Sharpe will have more catches than any rookie in the NFL this season.
I will take that proposition.
Tajae Sharpe, more catches than anyone.
Any rookie.
Any rookie.
Not anyone.
All right, who are the top rookies, Greg? Help me out. That would be in the running here. Corey Coleman is one.
Sterling Shepard.
Oh, come on.
You'd have to throw Will Fuller, I would say, in there.
Braxton Miller.
Tyler Boyd. Initially I was thinking, I think Sharp would be my choice. But all of these names that are in the mix, I'm going to take you up on that and figure one of them at least could beat him out. But I wouldn't be surprised if you get this right, Mark.
The way you worded this, it counts running backs as well.
No, I mean rookie wide receivers. Rookie. Thank you for clarifying so that we don't get into that in mid-November. It is at his position and not tight ends, receivers.
I think the smart way to play this is...
I mean, is it too late to be changing the terms? Wes might have caught you in a bit of a problem.
Had any rookie pass catcher and just did not say that. So
running backs are pass catchers.
I didn't expect the Kissing Cousins
for
to flash here.
Just looking for clarification. Have any problem with it being
wide receivers.
We'll throw it to Sydney. Sydney, you let us know. Is it okay to specify wide receivers, or is the horse out of the barn here?
I think the horse is out of the barn.
Whoa!
What do you mean? I'm not doing that.
No, it's okay.
Wide receivers.
Absurd.
That was interesting. That was a bit of a Ravio Van Ivico.
I don't think she knows what she's saying.
Do I have to drop on myself for a lot? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
I think you have to.
I like that.
Okay,
Sydney.
Well, here we go.
That was cold-blooded. Sydney.
Magnificent.
I like this side of you.
Yeah. Sydney comes.
This is someone who offered to take my children to Disneyland. That deal is off the table.
Oh, man.
All right, here we go. Let's get back on track here. All right, rookie wide receiver Tajae Sharpe will be the number one pass catcher. I will go with the field because I think that's the smart way to play it, even if maybe Sharpe is the favorite. So I think that's three.
I will go with the field because I think Sterling Shepard is the favorite.
Mm. Okay.
Corey Coleman's got to be in that mix.
Yep. Injuries happen, fellas.
Very interesting. Okay, there we go. So right off the bat, Mark, you got three
Mark
props.
Now wishing injuries on his number one draft pick for his favorite
Everyone's
team.
Healthy and Sterling right now. They're not going to be down the road.
Wes, your turn.
I'm bringing this one back from about a month ago when I mentioned it. Afterthought in the Bengals offense, Mohamed Sanu, now the number two pass catcher for the Falcons, will finish the season with more touches and total yards then Marvin Jones, the Lions' alleged number one wide receiver.
I love that one, Wes. See, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about putting your money where your mouth is. And you know what? Man, that's gross. I'm going to take you up on this, baby, because I do believe Marvin Jones is going to have a nice season, and I do not buy into the Sanu hype. Yes, he is in line to gobble up some targets, but the problem for me is that I don't think he's very good, so I don't think he'll thrive in Atlanta.
Now, you said touches?
Touches and total yards.
So you have to win in both. If you win in one, but not the other, you lose the sandwiches.
Yes, it has to be both.
So you're seeing a lot of running plays for Osunu?
Oh, yeah. Like, you just snuck that in there.
Well, he's also been known to throw the ball.
Yes.
That doesn't count as a touch.
Touch does not count. That touch is not throwing
the ball. And I'll take my chances on that, too.
No, we need to clarify that, because a touch is not throwing the ball. Jameis Winston didn't have 550 touches last year.
Mohamed Sanu will finish the season with more receptions plus rushing attempts and total yards than Marvin Jones.
I don't have a good feeling about this, because this is a guy who's going to be catching a lot of short passes. So I think the touches, he's got to be the favorite over Marvin Jones. But just because I like Marvin Jones, because he's on my fantasy team, because he was one of my Making the Leap guys back in 2013. I saw this Marvin Jones thing coming. I'm taking you up on it.
Keep going.
I'm not going to attempt to match the zeal there, but I will take you up also.
Wow. We are flying right now.
Fielded three of them.
Oh, Sid, I don't know.
That was a good one by Wes, because he's got a 50-50 shot in that.
Bad job by me on this, Sid, but you can also offer a prop at the end of the show if you haven't thought of it.
I do have one.
Okay, good. All right. Well, hold on to that. With the exception of the Irishman last round during the draft, as he raises his hand triumphantly, every producer has failed at this game except for the Irishman.
So. Tomato cans.
A lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Just don't involve
it's
Golden
real smug
Tate
back here, by the way.
In your proceedings.
A little smug? A little bit?
Oh, a lot smug.
Yeah.
Look at his face.
He's very confident now in himself. As he hits this Adonis stretch run, you know?
Yeah.
All right, my turn. Thought about these on the plane on the way back from Texas over the weekend. Here we go.
Nice plane. It's nice to have a plane
you
right
a prolific.
By yourself once you're a father, isn't it?
Yeah, he turned into a prolific texter while he was in the airport on the plane.
Well, I figured something out with if you have to kill time on the plane. I texted literally 15 people before the plane landed. And then as soon as I got back into the coverage zone, bang, 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 15 texts went out about a number of issues that I'd been meaning to catch up with people on. It's kind of a life hack. Anyway.
Dan also told me going out to dinner at 5:30 is a life hack.
Another one, with your wife when you have kids, go out to dinner early, and then you have the babysitter who puts down – I have one son. You put down the son at 8 p.m., 8:30. He's sleeping for the rest of the night. You get home after a nice dinner. Mark's shaking, nodding his
head. Totally agree with you.
You get home and you could watch TV. You could watch movies. You could hang out on the couch.
I
humble brag.
I respect all this, and yet I really disagree with that.
Open up a bottle of wine.
The enjoyment of going out to a dinner, you don't want to go at 5:30. But that's, you know, to each.
Well, one quick thing
not
on that. Parents, most of the time, if you're exhausted and it's a weeknight type of thing, you don't want to be up till midnight.
Exactly.
Anyways.
That's the other thing. Let's keep it real here. I'm beat. And my pregnant wife, especially, by 11 p.m.
You're describing Del Boca Vista.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If I'm going to go out to dinner, I want to enjoy it. I don't want to have to plan my day out so that I'm hungry by 5:30. Bunch of blue hairs.
It's just like that Malcolm Gladwell podcast about shooting free throws underhanded. Don't worry about what other people think. Do what's best for you. Have a strong will.
Interesting analogy.
That's true.
Okay, here we go. I have to start here. Lamar Miller, a guy that I've been honking about for months and months on this show, that he was going to break out and be a superstar-type player. Well, I better back this up. So I'm just going to say, nice and simple, Lamar Miller will have at least 1,500 total yards this season.
1,500 yards from scrimmage.
Yep. Which is a big-time season.
Not much bigger than
that. I mean, that feels very possible.
Where would that put him last year in last year's numbers? Probably number one or two.
No.
You're talking about rushing and receiving yards?
Yep.
No. Back in the day, you would have a number of people in and around 2,000.
That was back in the day.
Lamar Miller has approached 1,500 the last 2 years even in Miami. He was at 13. He's averaged over 1,300 the last 2 years.
Right. There's a jump.
I mean, one way to play Go Get My Lunch is throw out something so milquetoast that no one even takes you up on it, and then you actually kind of avoid possibly losing sandwiches. That's what Dan's done here.
I don't agree with your analysis. I feel like this is you can go either way. I'm going to take you because if he misses.
Thank you, Wes.
If he misses only one or two games.
Absolutely.
Not getting 1,500 yards.
And if it, to make the argument, We all in this room seem to think there will be bad quarterback play and suspect offensive line play. A 1,500-yard career season is not milquetoast. If I said 1,300, that's one thing.
He has averaged 200 carries the last 2 years, and he's averaged 1,300 yards from scrimmage. So if you just give him 40 more carries, which is a very conservative estimate, he easily gets past that.
All right, Mark?
Well, I think he's going to – I'll take you up for the sake of the game because that is my new strategy. I don't view it as a particularly daring bet.
Okay.
But you know what? That's another way to go, and that's what I did early on, and I got taken to the woodshed for it. So I'll take you up.
There's no right way to play. That's the thing. You just got to be right. Got to be right.
All right, Greg.
I think you're going to be right on Lamar Miller.
Wait, so Greg, you did not take him.
Take him because I do think he's going to have a nice season, just like Dan does.
You only reeled him one there.
Only one.
No, Mark.
I took it too.
Oh, I got two.
Yeah.
Because of your new philosophy.
I don't know about reel. I don't like the term reeled in, but.
It's got a big fish.
Bloop. Bloop. All right, Greg, you're up.
Well, I'm going back to something, again, that we talked about during the offseason, just looking ahead to the playoffs. And it's a very simple one, that the defending Super Bowl champions are not making the playoffs, that the Denver Broncos go from winning the title to watching from home. Tough division, pretty tough schedule, deep AFC. Don't think they'll be terrible, but they're not going to be good enough to win 10 games and make it back to the tournament.
Talk about milquetoast.
Well, I had listed as one of mine that exact same thing. So I agree with you, and I will not take you up.
Really?
Well, because I believe that that's also going to be the case.
It's a little milquetoast, buddy. I mean, you just banged me on Lamar Miller 59 yards. How about you say they have a losing record or something? Let's get a little juicy here.
This is a team that the odds are they're going to the playoffs. I don't think it's that milquetoast.
They still have an amazing their defense alone could win them 7 games, 8 games.
But they have to be as good as last year. And I found usually a historic defense does take that step back the next year. It's just hard to play at that level.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
I have.
What? Just the way you said it, it cracks me up.
They have won 12 games 4 straight years.
I don't know why that's funny, Mark.
I think it's funny.
Well, you guys think whatever you say is funny.
It was just the way you said it was funny.
You're down in the lab working out the numbers.
Listen,
I'm sorry,
I'm not a genius like the rest of you, but I have watched football for the last, like, 30 years, just so you know.
All right, then you're not taking this.
Idiots. All right.
This is a team to make the case for the Broncos. They have won 12 games a year for 4 straight years. Tim Tebow was the quarterback one of those years. Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler, who combined to be two of the worst quarterbacks in the league, were the quarterbacks that year. So I don't think were the quarterbacks for the team last year, and they still
managed. Why aren't you picking the Broncos to make the playoffs then?
Because I got a feeling it's not going to happen. I think the AFC West is deep, and I think the Chiefs and the Chargers are going in.
I'm not taking this for all the reasons you mentioned. The inexperienced quarterbacks, they do have a dominant defense, but Dan has found that doesn't usually happen 2 years in a row.
Am I wrong, by the way? But,
no, I think your findings are correct.
So pipe down.
But also, the Broncos did not have many convincing wins last year. They scraped by. And the way that luck usually works in the NFL, that evens out. I don't expect the luck to be on the Broncos' side to the extent it was last year. I'm not taking this.
I think they're an 8-8 team, and I don't think they'll make the playoffs, so I'm not taking it either. And you're out too, right?
I also am out, yeah.
Look how the worm turns.
It happens. And in fact, I don't think that's ever happened to me. I almost get all three things each time. So I'm not happy.
You better bring the heat next time through. Round two, Mark, get us going.
All right. Ugh. That is a hideous sound effect. Marcus Mariota and Blake Bortles will throw more combined touchdowns than Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco.
Interesting.
Say it once again.
Marcus Mariota and Blake Bortles, both AFC South quarterbacks, will throw more combined touchdowns than Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco.
All right. I'm going to quickly,
this is interesting,
off the top of my head, come up with my number on this.
Just passing touchdowns.
I'm going to put Mariota at 25 touchdowns, Bortles at 32, that's 57, Roethlisberger 35, Flacco 26, 61. Is that correct? I did it.
We'll have to take you.
Yeah, Roethlisberger and Flacco going to barely outperform them, so I will not take this. Oh, I will take it.
You will take it.
I will
correct.
Take it.
Yes, yes. You will be taking it.
We'll be close, though, potentially.
This is a strange one, because if you think about what Bortles and Mariota did last year, what was about 55, on an average year, would that beat out Ben and Flacco? It'd be close. It'd be right there.
I kind of picked like one high touchdown guy and one a little bit less.
How many did Bortles throw last year?
35.
Yeah. But a lot of people saying, oh, that's all garbage time. He'll never do that again.
Here's what's interesting.
I don't like Flacco. That's my problem.
With Henry and Murray in Tennessee, Ivory in Jacksonville, Le'Veon Bell healthy for most of the season, and Terrence West taking goal line in Baltimore, all four of these quarterbacks are going to be throwing less at the goal line than they did last year probably.
Hmm.
I'm not going to take this because I kind of believe Bortles will throw the most out of all four of these quarterbacks.
I'm going to take you up on it just out of boredom, just to do something.
Bored with my offering.
Not so much bored with your offering, but bored at the meaninglessness of life. Like you got to put yourself into the game.
Wow.
You guys didn't take me up on my last one. Now I feel empty and cold, and I want to be part of this.
Yeah, but that's kind of your default setting.
Right. I am dead inside.
Wow. Okay, well, we're learning a lot during this show. All right, there you go, Mark. So you have so far, you have five sandwiches on the line in your first two acres.
You and Greg took that one.
I took it, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Wes, you're up.
I don't feel good about that one. You confused me, Mark. It's not nice.
Let's stay in Tennessee. This is a callback to a video we did on Tuesday. The Titans tackle-breaking tandem of DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry will finish with more rushing yards than the NFL's rushing leader.
Okay.
Oh.
Ooh.
But wait.
Wait, why wouldn't they?
I totally believe that they will.
So
what do you mean, why wouldn't they?
So if they both...
When I said the Titans have the advantage over the Vikings in the backfield yesterday, you both looked at me like I was nuts.
So they both have to stay healthy. Let's keep
but this is different than just adding up yards. I mean, if you took...
Let's say the rushing leader finishes with 1,800 yards.
Even then, the Titans would have a chance to do it. Yeah,
I think he'll probably be closer.
I would never take that because you're very likely to get 450 carries, 500 carries out of those two guys, whatever it is. I don't know how it's going to be cut up, whereas no one in the league is going to get 400 carries on his own. So to me, that's the easiest one I've ever said no to in the entire history of this game.
Singing so much of a different song than you were 24 hours ago.
Ooh. Well, I wasn't here 24 hours ago.
Was really making that case. But what he said was that they have an edge in the backfield. He didn't say who has the total yards. You're talking pure numbers. It's got to be tough to catch up to 500 carries.
Yeah,
I'm a math man.
I'm with Greg because I think if the question is Adrian Peterson the better running back of the three, yes. But in terms of where they'll be, add up their numbers,
or
I'm also not going to take you. I could be wrong. We'll
Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott, they could have breakout seasons. But unless they have, huge, all-time franchise-type seasons, the rushing title guy usually is around 1,500 yards or so. And that means if those two guys stay healthy in that exotic smash mouth, they're probably going to hit that number, even if they don't have great seasons, right?
Right. I mean, it could happen the other way around, especially if there's an injury in Tennessee. But this is a thing where we're weighing the odds. And to me, the odds would be heavily in favor of the Titans winning that because we believe in the Titans.
I mean, just make them the team of ATL already if you believe in them.
I think they probably will be the team of West DL.
Give me a break. The 49ers are the team of Greg TL.
What? Wes is upset. No one's taking him. You should be happy.
Me. This team of West TL stuff is one of the most outrageous things that's ever occurred on this podcast. After you guys shoehorned me into the Chargers 2 years ago, and I saved you from the 49ers.
There's two things that get Wes more mad than anything in the studio. The wire that goes.
Which happened again yesterday.
When they asked for it to be behind his back. And then if you call it the team of West TL.
Doesn't like that.
Yeah.
The wire pisses me off more.
Yes.
More than anything that's ever happened in my life.
I will not take this either. I want to, but I won't. So do we
Remember
have any
when
takers?
This game used to be fun.
Do we have any takers?
Well, we can't blame each other for coming up with lame ones. I put myself in that category too.
All right. Here's one. I'll tell you one. This one should get some action. Again, this is about putting your money where your mouth is. The Patriots will not have a first-round bye this year.
I will take that.
I'll take it.
It's been like 5 years in a row. What is it, 6 years in a row they've got one?
They have done it every year since Rob Gronkowski has been there.
2010.
I believe that is six seasons. No other team in NFL history, this is one of the most underrated stats I think ever, has done it more than four times. And the Patriots have done it six now. I think they're going for seven. And so I will take you up on that. It wouldn't be shocking if they didn't, but I'll take you up and like my chance.
One pre-question. You predicted, and so you are going right where your off-season analysis has been, mm-hmm. that they are on the way down. Do you see them as a playoff team at all?
Yes.
Okay.
I see them as probably a division winner too, but I believe the combination of no Brady for the first quarter of the season and the, you know, slight regression, hashtag, of Tom Brady, and some of the bumps and bruises that come with the season, this is a 10 or 11 win team this year. That's not going
to
be enough.
I mean, it's tough to get that bye. A lot of those years they were tied or it comes down to the last week. It's definitely not easy.
I will take you because I do think that they'll get the bye. There's not a lot of other AFC teams out there that automatically easily slide into the one or two spot today.
No. But, it's always hard to tell what's going to actually happen a few months from now. I expect somebody to fill that void, maybe even my own New York Jets.
Well, someone has to by league rules. Unless there was some sort of massive national calamity, there will be two bye teams.
Absolutely. All right, so there you go, Greg. Come on. Let's go. Come on, Greg.
Can I just go to my an onion hanger?
Do whatever you got to do, buddy.
It's your second one.
Is this an onion hanger?
Sure.
This is right.
If you want big onions, you got to get a really big onion plant.
A little less oniony than your next one, right?
Let's hear that again.
If you want big onions, you got to get a big onion plant.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Logical farmer.
Jameis Winston. Wes is driving the old Mariota train. Mariota train. I am driving the Winston train.
I like that.
Love this guy. Can't wait to watch him all year. He is going to finish in the top five.
You drive a train? Go ahead.
I should know this after.
Conduct a train.
You conduct a train?
Yeah.
Well, top five in the league in yards, Jameis Winston by the end of the year.
So that's passing and rushing.
Just passing yards.
Oh, just passing.
Passing yards. Top five passing yards. The level of Brady. Well, not Brady.
I am taking that.
Where did he come in last year?
Not in the top, 12 or 13. Mm. I think it was like 15th or something.
I'll take you just on the based on the fact that I have no problem with him cracking the top 10 or something, but top five.
That means
not looking at that overall offense.
If he gets to the
top
five,
he's
going to be talked about as a monster second year.
By the way, that's
he finished 11th, about 550 yards away from the top.
I like Winston.
4,500 yards, most likely.
Yeah, right. He's got to go 40. He's got to go 45.
That's a monster year too.
That's a good one by Greg, and I'll take you.
Yeah, I like it. I think he'll continue to grow as a player, but maybe that's his year three type production. I'm going to take you on
that. That was my onion hanger.
It's good.
It can come at any time.
Wow, really throwing the game for a loop here.
So you're going to make it the last one of the entire game before you throw to Sydney will not be an onion hanger.
It'll have plenty of onions on the
table. That's show business,
baby. Well.
Interesting way to go about that.
All right, last round now. And this will be time for, three more onion hangers.
Well, after Wes and I couldn't reel in anyone, I just thought we got to get some sandwiches on the table.
All right, that's good. So here we go. Mark Sessler's onion hanger.
You notice these onions are sitting on top of the ground.
Grown.
I like that guy.
Logical farmer.
I had a bunch of these here, but I'm going to go with this one. The Arizona Cardinals will watch the NFC title game eating onions on their couch.
Whoa. What a weird treat to eat.
Wait, that's an onion hanger?
Onion rings. So they won't make the NFC championship game.
No.
I'll take that. Wait, no, I agree with
Cardinals?
That. You think they will not?
I mean, I'm not going to. The odds are that they won't be one of the
right. If you went to a place in the desert where they talk about things like that, the chances of them making the NFC championship game would certainly be less than 1 in 2. Because it's tough. You got the Packers. You got you got just any team can pop up.
Seahawks.
A Panthers team that you don't like. The Panthers at this point last year weren't a top 20 team according to the geniuses in this room.
Well,
and they managed to go 15-1.
And if you accept that I'm right, or wrong, you have to be right yourself. So you can't, you know, if the Cardinals get out to a 13-3 type regular season and win one playoff game, bang, they're in.
Well, I like the Seahawks, and that means I think they'll win the division. I think the Cardinals will be a wild card. It certainly wouldn't be surprising if the Cardinals even won the Super Bowl, but I will not take that because I think the Seahawks are better.
I am in lockstep there. I think the Seahawks win the division, and then you're in a situation where Carson Palmer, a noted postseason fiend, has to win three road games to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think he wins the first two, which means he doesn't get to the NFC title game.
I agree. I kind of agree with you. I'm not going to take this.
So nobody in this room thinks the Cardinals are making the NFC title game.
I don't think it's worth losing a sandwich over.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that really an onion hanger.
It was not my favorite of the group, to be honest. But
the result, you know, I think, proves that it was not an onion hanger.
It bears out whenever we send it around the room.
It
was onion.
You know, and I have to accept the result, which was ugly.
A post-show whipping.
I will not be a down for that.
And now here is a huge wager for Chris Wessling, who, you know, really needs to deliver a big-time onion hanger.
This I hope maybe you try these onions, you'll like them. They're real sweet onions.
We might have – this one might give us our quickest answer.
Okay.
Kristen Michael will finish the month of September as a top five fantasy back.
Hmm. How do you judge top five fantasy back? What are we using?
Most fantasy points by standard scoring.
Not
on NFL.com or something?
I mean, points per reception. Give me grow up, kids. Points per reception. You get a point for the National Tunnel Screen League for a one-yard catch.
Whoa. Wes with a strong anti-PPR take. This is the hottest moment of the podcast.
Yeah, grow up, children, with your PPR leagues. You don't get a full point for catching a two-yard pass.
That's the problem with the PPR league.
In the National Bubble
Screen
League?
I love Wes today.
Give me a break. How's that helping your team, a two-yard pass?
I guess, but then you really are diving deep into the entire logic of fantasy football. Why is 20 passing yards worth a point? Why, you know?
Because you're moving the ball down the field.
It's a wormhole.
You're getting closer to the end zone where the real points are.
Well, I will
get back on track.
I will take you up on this. I did have to think about it, so I wouldn't say it was the quickest answer ever. But you're right. I will not take Kristen Michael versus the field. When Thomas Rawls is there, sure, Kristen Michael might start week one. Maybe he'll start the whole month. But Thomas Rawls is healthy enough to play some football.
Hey, I'm hanging onions here.
I know. I'm with you.
Hey!
Thomas Rawls, I'm just explaining. I'm showing my work. Thomas Rawls is healthy enough to play some football, so I'll take you up on that one.
Thomas Rawls is not going to be the feature back there. This will be Kristen Michael's chance to really steal that job. You believe in the awakening, Wes? I believe in you. But I'm going to take you up on it just because as much as there is a lot of fact on film to say that this is Kristen Michael's awakening, let me see it. Let me see it happen in real games, so I'll take you up on it.
I think it's a good one because had it just been him alone and we were seeing the preseason, Kristen Michael would be an absurd idea. Of course he will be. But with Thomas Rawls, we a lot of people are saying the exact opposite. So for the sake of the game, I'll take him up.
Well, it is an onion hanger. I agree. It is showing your Kristen Michael belief.
Putting my money where my mouth is. It is devout.
And just after the show, let's make sure we're all on the same page what we're looking at for the top five in terms of the scoring and everything. It's the only thing that gave me
I know what you're talking about.
Buzz.
Standard scoring.
Where can we see that?
Pick a site and say on this website he needs to be top five.
Yeah, I know what it is.
No,
it's rushing yards, point
Fantasy
percent yards.
Fantasy Football Today's stats page, which will be updated.
Okay, there you go.
That will make the people at NFL.com delighted that we've gone right past their website to another one.
All right, last
enough traffic.
Last onion hanger right here.
Walla Walla is a big onion. Giant sweet Spanish onions are good. And a Red Zeppelin is a big red onion.
I got a Red Zeppelin for you guys. Actually, now that I'm looking at it, the Patriots was probably my better onion.
Well, that's how I feel about my.
But now it's too late.
Yeah.
So I apologize if this one isn't going to strike you as too oniony, but it was an accident.
So it's not a Red Zeppelin.
It's not a Red Zeppelin.
More like a Vidalia.
It's a little bigger than a Vidalia. The Packers will bounce back and score 500 and 30 points this season.
I have no – I don't even – I have no – I don't know how many points teams score off the top of my head. Is that
– I'll tell you, 530, I know math, divided by 16.
I mean, that's excellent.
Is over 34 points or something?
They have scored 530 points.
33 points a game.
One time in their history.
Well, that would be an onion hanger then, just by the numbers.
You 2011, they scored 560. They have never scored 500 points other than this.
What was the number you came up with?
Thank you, Wes. The research department's helping me.
There you go. What's that? 530, I said.
I'll take you up.
I think that was the Super Bowl year they scored 560.
Dan wishing he said it at 500 now.
I did have it at 500.
Well, it's at 530.
I did have it at 500, but I'll stick with it.
I believe in the renaissance of Green Bay's offense, but 530 is like almost record-breaking territory.
That's what I think this offense is capable of. I'm hanging some onion.
I like it.
I think this is an onion hanger, and I commend you on your Red Zeppelin, but I'm going to take you up on it.
All right. I got three more. That one I feel like I'm vulnerable on, but that's what the game's about.
She picked a number out of thin air.
Exactly. I had 500 written down, but I was already hearing Greg like, no, you're such an like, I didn't want to deal with it, so I jumped it up 30 points.
There you go, Greg.
I think what you're seeing here
you got me, Greg.
In today's episode is the pressure has really gotten to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Wes getting really upset when no one took his ridiculous Titans might gain 200 yards thing. I had to change my whole strategy and move up my onion hanger because I was ashamed when you guys mocked my Broncos. We're struggling here.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Struggling, I think, on some level, we'll see. History will bear out whether we panicked or not. Right now, it seems like the pressure is getting to us. Greg, wrap it up now.
All right.
You should be improvising
a
little bit.
I am. I'm choosing. I'm making this one a little more
oniony.
Yeah, more oniony. It was originally, and this was going to be a middle one, it was just originally going to be supporting my division. You know, I'm the official spokesman of the
patron
NFC,
saint of the
NFC South moving forward.
You're like the Pat Shermer to the NFC South, Sam Bradford.
Right. as the official spokesman, I was going to say just two teams make the playoffs from the NFC South. That didn't feel enough now that I thought of it, although that alone could
keep
be
going,
some
keep
onion.
Keep going.
Two teams will make it from the NFC South. One of those teams will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so I'm going to double down on a lot of Bucs love here. Two teams make it. One of them is the Buccaneers.
So the Falcons, Saints, and Panthers, one of those make it. And then the other one must be the Bucs, a team that finished last year on like a six-game losing streak.
That has not made the playoffs, I believe.
Since 2002, since they won the Super Bowl, right?
No, since Chris Sims was in the mix.
Yeah, with Gruden.
Whoa.
They did make it one.
I will take this one.
So they don't have to win the division. They're just one of the two, the Bucks.
Yes.
I will take you.
I'm making a classic go-get-my-lunch mistake, making it too specific, where I can lose in multiple ways.
Yes.
I'll take you up.
Yeah, that is one of the cardinal sins of this game is – going a little bit too far with the – Mark, you've made that mistake many times.
Mm. I mean, I was born making that mistake in this game, so.
Yeah, I will take you up on that because, it's hyper-specific, and that never works out in this game.
Well, you know what else is a big mistake in this game? Not being able to see the future, which the three of you are not doing right now, but I am. I see a future of you
getting in your car at about 10:30 in the morning, driving to a sandwich place and buying multiple sandwiches for everyone else in the group, including Sydney.
I see the future that Jameis Winston gets arrested and is suspended for most of December.
Basically, I lose six sandwiches if Jameis Winston
crab legs.
Sprains his ankle and misses 3 weeks.
Jameis Winston forgets you can get crab legs for free down at the local water.
Greg has basically tied the entire contest to Jameis Winston. If anything happens to him, the Bucks miss the playoffs, he's not a top five passer, and Greg is in deep, absolutely boiling water.
Wow. That's a good point. If Jameis Winston isn't what you think he is,
I know.
We're going to be eating.
It was originally going to be Clowney for the – I was thinking about doing a Clowney one. But
I'll throw it in there.
Now we're good.
Parlay it. All right. There you go. There are our go get my lunch props.
I think for the record, half of the props were taken by all three people in the room.
It's going to be the most exciting season yet. Sydney, wrap us up now with usually a sacrificial offering to the group that allows us to pad our stats. But after Brandon's big showing with Jalen Smith in the 2016 draft, it makes people think maybe the producers are ready to take back over.
That's a lot of pressure, and I also may be going with what some may call a homer pick, but so sue me.
Okay.
It can't be BYU related.
Well, it's not really BYU. It's just a former
Steve
BYU
Steve Young
player.
Related?
Yeah, Steve Young's going to come back.
Steve Young will be ranked in the top five analysts.
He's going to, like, kick Colin Kaepernick out of the building, take him to the Super Bowl. No, I'm going Ziggy Ansah leads the league in sacks this year.
Okay, there we go. There's
that's an onion hanger. I like it.
You deserve an onion drop for that one.
Choose
whatever you want.
I hope maybe you try these onions, you'll like them. They're real sweet onions.
I mean, Ziggy Ansah leading the league in sacks. That is
that's bold.
He was third last year.
Yeah. I think J.J. Watt may take a step back. He's kind of hurt.
Okay.
There's some logic.
I didn't realize he was that high, I have to say.
They are that's talking about him that way, too.
Yeah.
I wrote many meaningless offseason articles based around that.
He's got a high ceiling.
It isn't quite as much of a gimme as TD saying Calvin Johnson would have 25 touchdowns, but
it's close.
I'll take you on it.
It's close. The field is strong. There's many Hall of Famers in this field. There's just lots
Leo
of players.
Mack.
You get 300 players.
Yeah.
You get Ansah, so I'll take it.
Yeah, if I've learned anything from Greg about gambling, it's the field is an important thing to jump on. And I'm going to go field because
Mark making a picture of the
Well, all your it's you're betting against someone else out of nowhere shining and anything negative happening to Ziggy Ansah that even knocks him out for, you know, two games. He's had some injuries before, so I'm going to take you up. Good one.
There you go. I'll take you up as well. So you got four.
All four?
Sandwiches on the line.
All right, no pressure.
I mean, if you don't take up the producer, what are you doing around here?
No, exactly. That's the ultimate cowardice. Ziggy Ansah, 14.5 sacks last year. That's news to me. The grouping here, J.J. Watt, Khalil Mack finished ahead of him, Carlos Dunlap, Chandler Jones, Mo Wilkerson behind him. Wow, interesting. I like that one.
No Justin Houston. No healthy J.J. Watt.
Out of the gate, there's reason to – the good one by her. Nice pick.
You always take the field, though.
Maybe Clowney's in the mix.
Do we want to quickly talk about the Thursday night opener?
Yeah, we forgot to on Tuesday's show. I know we're going long here, so why don't we just do a quick couple minutes.
All right, Super Bowl 50 rematch in Denver. The Carolina Panthers against Trevor Siemian and the Denver Broncos. Wes, what are your initial thoughts about this game before we each make a pick?
Two initial thoughts. One, this has potential to be the lowest scoring game of the entire week with two good defenses and an inexperienced Broncos quarterback making his NFL debut. And the other thought is, have Michael Orr and Mike Remmers gotten any help over the offseason that will help them block Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware? Because that was the difference in the Super Bowl. I think those are the key factors there.
I think for me, I look at Denver's offensive line and wonder if Carolina might not put up a number of sacks in this game themselves.
Played pretty well in the Super Bowl, the defensive line.
Tony Ealy.
Yes, they did. I mean, that's right. Ealy was a MVP candidate out of the gate, and then everything changed. I mean, how far we've come from when we watched Peyton Manning throw seven touchdowns just a few seasons ago in the opener. Now you have to wonder if Trevor Siemian will even have seven touchdowns in the first half of the season. This is going to be a run-heavy, basic, vanilla offense. That would be my prediction, especially out of the gate. And I think that Carolina is set up. They have not won in Denver ever, I believe, but they are set up to take care of business in this and get some revenge.
I'd be surprised if Trevor Siemian was their quarterback by week eight. And I think this is a very tough spot for this guy to be in. On the primetime stage, a season opener, he was already going to have nerves, and now he's going to have, you know, 50 million people watching him. I don't think it's a good spot for him. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, like Wes said. But I'm not sure. I think it's a little bit of a toss-up, though, with the home field advantage. Those teams do very well in these openers. Almost every year, I know the Giants lost a few years back, but almost always the home team wins.
It's a Lions den coming in here on an emotional game. I think this is a terrible matchup for Carolina for the same reason that it was in the Super Bowl. If you look at what they did, not that the preseason should matter that much, but if another team had the performance that Cam Newton and the first team offense of the Panthers had against New England to close out their preseason, people would be a little panicked. I mean, they could not function. And I looked at this Broncos defense, even though I said that I don't think they'll make the playoffs, I think they can win a game like this that they can keep low scored. They have people coming out of the wazoo. Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett. They're really excited about Bradley Roby taking a step. Simmons, this rookie that's playing safety. This little rumor that Aqib Talib was on the trade block was interesting to me. They shot it down. But it, to me, it maybe says they love this depth in the secondary. I think they can win this game with this defense.
All right, let's make our picks. Mark.
I will go Carolina 23-18 in overtime.
Wow. 23-18 in overtime.
How can
that possible?
Be possible?
Sorry, 24-18.
They go for the five-pointer.
I didn't go to the same, you know, math class that that Dan went to, so mine.
Well, I think you might have, actually. Wes.
I think Mark's number 18 number is interesting just because you don't hear it too often in football. But
Peyton
I'll stick
Manning
with
ref.
Panthers 18, Broncos 13.
Hmm. All right. 18 is not a score you see often in the game, so I'm going to steer away from that. I am going to go, but similar, 17-10 Panthers. Late wow. touchdown by Cam Newton breaks a tie, and Trevor Siemian fails miserably in the two-minute drill.
Oh, who says we don't have hero picks? I'm taking a hero pick, I guess, at least for this game, and I think the Broncos are going to find a way to win this game. I really believe in that week one, the defending champion thing, especially when I think they still have the best unit in this game, which is the Broncos defense. They win a
unless lot. You're the Ravens and the Orioles refuse to get out of their stadium.
Right. That was unfortunate.
Normally, the champions do have an advantage because they're not usually playing the same team that has an axe to grind for losing in the Super Bowl. Mm.
But there's a reason to me that the Panthers lost that game, even though we thought they, except for Mark, we all thought they were going to win that game. I just think it's a tough matchup, and Denver wins 14-13.
Greg, with the tried and true Mojave viewpoint, never pick against Trevor Siemian in primetime.
He's never lost.
All right, there you go. That is our very special edition of the Around the NFL podcast, the Go Get My Lunch props edition 2016. Make sure you check out gogetmylunch.org, run by our friend Nick Fortier. Also on Twitter, at GoGetMyLunch, to see all of the props in written form and the history of the game, and also some brand new sound drops on a soundboard that Nick has set up, which is amazing. Maybe we'll dig into that at some point next week. But we got to get out of here. So until Thursday, our third show in six – we're going to do four shows in 6 days. How exciting is that?
Wow.
We will see you again in 24 hours. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and La Seed behind the glass. Till Thursday.
Core.
Oh man, it's good.